one of my favorite songs I just played there, "The Road Not Taken." You know, I don't know how many friends we have that don't take the road that we ought to be taking. And it's kind of sad when you look at it and when you know where they're going and you can't get them to change their mind. You know, all we can do is give them the message of Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit touches their heart. God promises that. But whether they accept it or not, that's totally up to them. And sometimes, you know, you watch that and it's like, you know what you have and you want to give it to them real bad, but they don't want it and there's nothing you can do about it. It's really sad. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for an awesome morning. It's just a beautiful day. And we thank you for being at a place where we're allowed to worship you out in the open. We don't have to hide it. We can talk about you. And we thank you for a track that allows us to be here. It's just awesome that we could come out and worship you. I know you don't have a problem with us having fun and playing, but you want to be number one in our lives. And that's why we're here this morning, to worship you. We want to make you number one before we do anything else. We just thank you ever so much, Father. And as we get ready to read from your word, I ask that you'd minister through me, send your Holy Spirit, touch each person here. And we just thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. In this crazy world, there's a lot of craziness when you look on the internet, you read the newspaper, if anybody still does that. I find myself not doing that too much, but we read news on the internet, you know, a lot. And you read a lot of junk on Facebook, because I know a lot of people are on there, of course. And you really start wondering, how safe is it? I mean, is it safe to be in the United States, or is it safe to be anywhere in the world? And it'd be very easy to become scared and start worrying about things. Because, gosh, man, there's stuff getting blown up, people getting hurt, people getting shot. It just seems really crazy. So what do we do? I mean, how do we know that God protects us in this? I mean, do we really know that he does? Well, that's where we need to go to the Bible, because if we don't go to the Bible, we won't know. We got to check God's word and see what he tells us about that. And that's kind of what I want to do this morning. So I'm going to read out of Psalms. This is Psalms 34, verse 19. It says, "The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." That's a pretty tall promise. But it's not the only place. I mean, one thing about the Bible, the stuff that's really important, it repeats usually. And we'll go to Psalms 46. We can read, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." Again, it said, you know, he is our refuge and strength. And then one more scripture out of Psalms 57, "Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." Now, there's two things that really stick out in this. One, God promises to protect us, watch us, help us through things. But the second thing that we notice in this, he doesn't say we won't have problems. We are going to struggle with things. And, you know, there's a lot of preachers will tell you that, you know, that's the new thing now. You know, hey, you trust in God and you do that, you're not going to have any problems and life's going to be great. Well, no, we got the devil out there. He doesn't like us being Christians. He wants to make us miserable. He wants to beat us up, and he does that. Then you look around at all the evil in the world and all this junk going on and all that, and you really start getting discouraged. And it's like, wow, man, what the heck now? But that's where we look at these scriptures and we can go, you know what? The world may be falling down around us, but God will see me through whatever trouble I'm going through. So at the time, you may not understand why you're going through it, but the end result, you're going to win. That God promises that. And I want to read another scripture. We're reading a lot of scripture this morning because you guys know me. The Bible says it better than I do, so I like to do that. Let's read another scripture, because the big thing in all this, God does not expect us to do it on our own. He doesn't want us to rely on ourselves. He wants us to rely on Him. So when these problems come and we do go through these troubles, we don't have to sit there and worry about it and just, oh, what do I do now? We can say, okay, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know you're going to help me, so I'm going to trust that you're going to see me through this. And I want to read a verse out of John 16. It's verse 33. Here's what Jesus said to the Israelites. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So you got the two things again. You got peace through Jesus. So God's going to give you peace, but He doesn't promise you won't have trouble. And I know that seems, yeah, but why doesn't He just why don't He just make it go away? That way I don't have to deal with any of this. I mean, wouldn't that be easier? And there's a guy named Chip Ingram that I listen to. He's got a church out in California. He's a worldwide preacher, and I really like him. And, you know, one of the comments he made one day that made sense to me, see, God's got to do the perfect thing for everybody. It's real easy for us to sit there and go, you know, why is this not working right the way I want it to for me? Well, because He's got to make it right for your wife, for your son, for your daughter, for your neighbor. I mean, there are so many pieces that go into all this making it perfect. He's going to do the best thing for everybody, not just for you. And that may mean that at times you have to go through things you don't want to because He's helping somebody else. We never really think about that because it's all about us. We never think about God may not make it stop raining on this race today because the farmer next door might need water for his beans. That'd be a nice way to put it. You know, I always have a hard time praying for it not to rain on a race. I always do. It's like, you know, there's a reason that we're seeing the weather that we're seeing. And that'd be really cool. You know, hey, we have a perfect racetrack. But we don't know. Farmer Joe may be almost bankrupt, and this extra water might give him a couple of extra bushels of beans, and all of a sudden he's okay again. That's the things that we don't realize a lot of times. But the big point I was trying to make with this scripture that Jesus said here, you know, He says, so that in me you may have peace. Not in ourselves. It's not about us. We got to rely on Him. That's where we have our peace. So I'm going to go to another scripture. And this one is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 9. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So again, Jesus says, hey, give it to me. I will take care of it. But we got to have faith. We got to believe it. We can't just, okay, I believe it, Lord, but okay, now, okay, I'm going to take care of it myself anyway. Because you're not moving fast enough, or I don't know, I don't understand it. That's our biggest problem with me. A lot of times I don't understand what God's doing. And I'm one of those people that needs to have it figured out from A to Z. And if it stops at H, and I get like, oh, I can't do that. I got to have it perfect. It's got to all be right. And God's one of those, you know, He reveals it on a need-to-know basis a lot of times. And we don't do so good with that. And you're not the only one. I mean, I'm there, and I know a lot of other people are there also. But, you know, we cast our anxiety on Him. And you know, it says your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Then it says resist him standing firm in the faith. You know, you can look at these scriptures and you go, hey, you can't do nothing to me because God made these promises. And because of these promises, I know he's going to take care of me. And that's where our faith comes in. And then like one of the other things, like me and my wife were talking not too long ago. You know, I know people that keep a little journal. And whenever God does something really good for them, they write it down. And then a week later or whenever something else really good happens where they can really see that God was in it, they write that down. Because what happens when things start going haywire and things go bad, they can go to that journal and go, you know, I know God's going to take care of me because back in March 3 or whatever, he did this when this happened. And he did this when that happened. And it gives you faith. It builds your faith. So when you need to resist the devil, and the resistance a lot of times is just not listening to him, you can go back to that and it'll help you to resist him. And we give it to God. We don't hang on to it ourselves. We resist the devil. And then another thing that helps us build our faith and makes us strong is the fact that we're not alone. You know, like this last verse I read right there said, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We have a tendency to think we're the only ones that have problems. And especially in church, and I'm not beating up on church because we're having church right here. But so many people go to church and they have their Sunday face on. And you ask, well, how are you going? Well, I'm blessed. Everything's great. And I believe that. I mean, that's great. I hope that's exactly where they're at. But a lot of people are having trouble. And they're afraid to talk about it. They don't want the guy sitting next to them to know that they're having trouble and they're struggling. And, well, you go to church, it's like going to the hospital. You need to look. I mean, when you go to the hospital because you're not feeling good and the doctor's going to try to make you better. Well, you ought to go to church because you're not feeling good and the doctors there ought to make you better. And if you're not sick and you're feeling really good today, you should help the person next to you to make them feel better. So it kind of, it's a win-win. We help each other. So we're not the only ones that struggle. And to me, that's a good thing to know again, because we like we said, the world is so self-centered nowadays. I mean, everybody thinks it's all about them. Every commercial, you deserve this, you deserve that. I mean, it's never about us. It's always about me. And the Bible likes to see things about us, is kind of the way Jesus teaches it. So let's read another verse. This is out of Psalms again. It says, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people. Hey, he promised that just earlier. That was earlier in Psalms even. Just kind of fits. Promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. You know, one thing that you see a lot when it's talking about faithful servants, there's a lot of good Christians out there that are living a really miserable life because they're not living their life for Jesus. Being saved and living your life for Jesus ain't always the same thing. Now, some people just think they're saved and they've never really made the commitment. They just, you know, they said this prayer thinking that's going to save them, and it does. If you do it from your heart, you receive Jesus as your Savior, and you do that from the heart, there's no doubt that you are a saved individual. So we're going to say, you know, like most of us here, okay, we're saved. But that doesn't mean you can't live outside of what God wants you to do. You can still do stuff. I do stuff sometimes that I ain't supposed to do. And there's other people do stuff they ain't supposed to do. Well, we start doing that stuff, and it kind of, it's like, think of a brick wall. You know, you're building this wall between you and God. And the further away you get from him, the harder it is for him to help you. And all of a sudden, you start struggling with stuff. And that's why he says, you know, he promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. So we got to make sure that we're following him. Not, I'm not talking about messing up. Because every one of us messes up, and that's not it. I'm talking about just willful rejection, you might say. Where it's like, I know God doesn't want me to do this, but I'm going to do this anyway. That's the kind of stuff that separates us. It's not the mistakes when we mess up. I mean, we all do that. We'll go on from there then. So like I said, we got to make sure we follow him. And then Isaiah will tell us, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Big thing is trust. I mean, we got to believe what Jesus says is true. If we don't believe it, it's really hard to be successful. And that's where, you know, like the little journal I was talking about really helps. Just being in your Bible every. I'm not saying you got to be in it every day. I like reading a little bit every day. That's how I start my day. But it's not for everybody. Some people like reading in the evening. Some people like reading every other day. I've compared it to, like, look at a car. You get gas guzzlers that use, you know, about 10 miles a gallon, and you get cars that do 30 miles a gallon. Well, that's how going to God is. You come to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fills you and draws you close to God. Well, I use more Holy Spirit than the rest of you, I guess. Holy Spirit is a person. That's probably not the right way to say it. But I run out of juice a lot quicker than other people. I have a low Holy Spirit mileage, I guess you might say. So I got to go to God on a regular basis. Well, some people may be able to go every other day because they don't run out as quick. Think of it like a sieve. The Holy Spirit comes and fills you up, and it's got holes in it, and it runs out. And some people, it runs out faster. And we don't want that. So we got to stay plugged in. We got to read the Bible that we can trust. You know, we know what we're supposed to trust. So in conclusion, what's the conclusion of everything what I said today? What does all this tell us? Well, we're protected by God. God promises to protect us. We do the best we can do and trust God for the rest. That's basically it. I mean, just make an effort. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to do great. We just make an effort, and we can trust God for the rest, and he guarantees to help us. And I want to read another scripture. Like I said, today we're really reading scripture. And if you forget what the scriptures are, at some point I'll get this uploaded on the internet, and you could actually look it up online on our website. I'm kind of slow getting it there, so be patient. But if not, you can even ask me, and I can give it to you. But here's another couple of verses of what Jesus says. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you know what a yoke is, you know, a yoke is what ties horses together, like when they pull a wagon. He doesn't say, just give it to me and then sit back. He says, hey, let's get in this together. We're going to do this together. That's what he wants us to do. And if we do that, I guarantee you we don't have to worry about tomorrow as much, because we're going to feel that God's there. We're going to feel him. He's going to let us know he's there. God promises in the Bible that if we seek him, he will reveal himself to us. Now, I've had stretches where I was like, okay, where are you hiding at this time? I can't feel you. But he's there, and you trust in him, and he will reveal himself just like he promised. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. It's a topsy-turvy world. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's kind of scary in places. But you tell us that we can have peace in our troubles if we trust in you, and that's what we want to do. But the basis for that is knowing you as our Lord and Savior. And if anyone's here that doesn't, I ask that you would touch their heart and tell them, just knock on it and tell them that's what they need. It's still their decision, but The stronger your knock is, the more likely it is that they will listen. We just thank you ever so much. So, Father, we just thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for allowing us to have this service. Thank you for everyone here. We just praise and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.